We're going to begin to get, we only got half an hour, so we're going to canter through this, but we're going to give you some ideas, some thoughts. We're going to begin to get intentional, but how can we focus, how can we build up, how can we move on? This afternoon, I'm going to give you three things as we're beginning to move forward, we can get intentional as individuals. Orders from God, idea, instructions. What can we do to walk with Him on a daily basis? Just three things from these Psalms which we're going to focus on. Orders, and tomorrow morning we're going to get intentional about some specifics that we can do practically. Okay, this is for us as individuals in our own personal relationship and walk with God. Orders are sort of part and parcel of what we do in the military, or what you do in the military. What I used to do, now I just ignore any orders that I get from Carl Beach and just do what I like. God gives us orders. The famous, of course, are the Ten Commandments. We all know the Ten Commandments. And, of course, there's only one of those that comes with a promise. Anyone know which one it is? Only your parents. And that comes with a promise. Then you'll live long in the land. Only one with a promise. We're going to look at some here that maybe haven't got a promise, but there's a consequence if we do them. If we do these things with God, then there's a consequence for us. And if we don't, the consequence is probably interesting. So, you know, there's, I love this. Has anyone seen this before?
Yeah.
It's great, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's brilliant. I have to say, I was sent that by my son, who's in the Royal Marines Band Service, and he was doing the rounds among the booties. But, you know, he'd walk along on your mobile phone. I don't know what he's doing. He's digging for gold with the end of his weapon. Brilliant. I love that. It just sums up the Navy. But it also sums up what happens to a lot of folk who become Christians. Become a Christian and carry on doing what you want. That's not what we're about. That's not what God wants from us. God wants us to become His, to follow Him, journey with Him, and begin to do what He wants to do. We're not going to do it all overnight. We're not going to change overnight. But He's given us ideas and all. I can imagine, I don't think they were trained. Well, they might have been actually, depends if they were trained, who they were trained by. But that is not what God wants from us as we begin this journey. So we're going to begin to get a little bit intentional. Worship. Heart worship. Not talking just about singing. We're not talking about the worship slot. We're talking about heart worship. Psalm 122. Verses 4 and 5. Jerusalem's built like a city. This is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord, to give thanks to the name of God. This is what it means to be Israel. Thrones for judgments are stood there. Famous is David's throne, the thrones of the house of David. The city to which the tribes ascend. All God's people, all God's tribes go up to worship, to give thanks to the name of God. It's intentional. It's not about our feelings, heart worship. Worship is not about our feelings. The Bible doesn't talk much about feelings. It's interesting that Jeremy picked up a little bit on that this morning. That we're not talking about feelings. Our culture tells us we have to listen to our feelings. Culture says, do it, to be in touch with our feelings. And as men, you know, we find some of that a little bit challenging, I think, sometimes. But culture says if we don't feel something, there's no point pursuing it. Don't bother. If you don't feel it, don't get it, don't worry about it. It's fine. You know, why did you do that? Well, felt like it. Why didn't you do that? Or why didn't you do it? I didn't feel like it. And, you know, Eugene Peterson, who wrote The Message, said this about worship. Worship is an act which develops feelings for God, not a feeling for God which is expressed in an act of worship. I'll read that again. Worship is an act which develops feelings for God, not a feeling for God which is expressed in an act of worship. So we have to intentionally, heart from our hearts, begin to worship God. And out of that, we develop a love. We develop a desire to worship God. All too often on a Sunday morning, we go to church and we don't feel like it. Do you feel like worshipping? You have to command yourself. We have to tell ourselves. And then the consequence is it explodes when you begin to look at God, see who He is, worship Him for who He is, for what He's done, intentionally. And out of that comes this desire, this act of worshipping and praising God. Psalms 42 and 43 is probably what most of us feel like most Sunday mornings. I know it's my experience on a lot of Sundays when we're going up to worship, going up to church. You're in the pit, you don't want to be there. My soul's in the dumps, as it say there in verse, why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? Why are you crying the blues? Psalm 42, verses 5 and 6. Fix my eyes on God, soon I'll be praising again. If you're down in the dumps, fix your eyes on God, intentionally begin to worship him, and you'll begin to develop that love, and praise will begin to pour out. And we see that. Put your hope in God, the end of Psalm 43. Fix my eyes on God. Soon I'll be praising again. He puts a smile on my face. Why are you down in the dumps? Fix your eyes on God. Fix your eyes on God. Worship him. Worship him. It's an act of the will. It's a command, if you like, to worship him at all times and in all places. Psalm 134, back up in the ones that we're looking at, talks about worshipping him during the middle watch, which is wonderful, I think, praise the Lord. Come bless God, all you servants of God, you priests of God, posted to the night watch in God's shrine, lift your hands to the holy place and bless God. And here we come to the consequences. If we do that, in turn, may God of Zion bless you. So as we worship, as we praise, as we pour out our hearts to God in worship of who he is, he begins to bless us. We begin to walk with him, begin to journey with him, and we praise him for what he's done. So we've got to come intentionally to worship. We begin to see the blessing from that. Our hearts begin to be at one with God. The second one that psalmist encourages us to do is to fear God. To fear God. So we worship him, we fear him. All you who fear God, Psalm 128 says, how blessed you are. How happily you who walk on his smooth, straight road. NIV, blessed are all who fear the Lord and walk in his ways. We're not to be scared of God. That's not what we're about. But we are to approach him with reverence and awe. I'm sure you've all had senior officers. I can think of COs and captains who've led the ship by fear. You know, you don't do this, you're going to get uncle and cord. There's no respect, but you just know that you're going to get beaten up if you don't. But then you've had other officers who actually, there's a reverence for them. Not in a godly sense, but actually there's a respect for them in the right way. You can go on and run ashore with them, but you still call them boss. You still call them sir. So right reverence and fear of the boss. And that's what it's like for us, I believe, with God. And I think we sometimes, in the modern culture, we've come too far the other way. God's become too much of our oppo. He's become only a run ashore oppo. He's not our boss as well. You know, he's not in that analogy of the run ashore. And we've got to develop a right reverence for him, for who he is, what he's done for us. God is our friend, but this is God of all creation. We've been singing about that. We're serious about that. We've got to give him that reverence, that awe that's due to his name. Reverence means basically let God be God. Let God be who he is. We only have to read, you know, God's word to begin to see what he's done for us. And we need to treat that with reverence. We worship him for who he is in reverence. And we walk in his ways. We're talking about that this morning, weren't we? How do we walk in his ways? Blessed are you who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. And that psalm goes on to say, Psalm 128, from the Message, you worked hard and deserve all you've got coming. Enjoy the blessing. Revel in the goodness. God is not going to, doesn't want you to live a boring life. He wants you to enjoy life. This is the consequence that comes from walking in his ways, from worshipping him, from giving the reverence that is due to his name. He wants you to enjoy life. He's going to pour it out on you. And again, Psalm 28 says, your wife will bear children. That's a great blessing. As a vine bears grapes, your household lush as a vineyard. Stand in awe of God's yes, it says here. Oh, how he blesses the one who fears God. He's going to bless you if we're walking in his ways. And then this great bit at the end of Psalm 128 in the Message. Enjoy the good life in Jerusalem. Every day of your life, enjoy the good life that he's going to give you. That's a consequence of worshipping and walking, fearing him and walking his ways. He wants you to enjoy life. Doesn't want you to be down in the dumps. Yes, he wants you to be serious about it. He wants you to try and deal with the stuff that's stopping you walking in his ways. But he wants us to enjoy it. He wants us to have a great time. He put us on this earth to enjoy it. Go and enjoy life. Don't be miserable. And I think all too often we think being a Christian is boring, it's miserable, it's a waste of space. But it's not. If we're walking his ways, we can enjoy it, we can have a laugh. We can have a great time. However, when we walk contrary to his ways, we're going to face the consequences. And we're going to fall out of this blessing. Actually, we're going to realise, you know, like we touched on this morning. Actually, if you're not walking in his ways, and you're doing stuff that you know is wrong, you know it, you feel it. You've got that dis-ease, you know, dis-ease, you're diseased. There are consequences to not walking in his ways. And enjoy it. Don't feel guilty about enjoying life. Don't feel guilty about it. And thirdly, to worship God, walk in his ways, to fear God. And thirdly, to trust God. Thirdly, to trust. Psalm 125. Those who trust in God are like Mount Zion. Nothing can move it. A rock solid mountain you can always depend on. Mountains encircle Jerusalem and God encircles his people. Always has and always will. Those who trust in the Lord, that's the certainty, the assuredness we get. So who should we trust? It's great.
This 50 caliber BMG round and his sniper rifle. Let me see how that goes.
Trust. I don't know. Not sure I'd do that. Not a clue. You know, how far do we trust God? Have you seen this one? This is brilliant. Have you seen, everyone seen this? Oh, lovely. This is trust your oppos, right? Never trust your oppos. Or maybe we should. He just knows that he's wrong. Trust. Psalm 125 is about the security and assurance that we get when we trust God. Jerusalem, believe it or not, was on a hill in the Middle East. It was not builded here in England's green and pleasant land. It was not. I'm sorry, but it was not. But it was a secure city. Mountains surrounded it. It was secure for God's people at the time. God encircled his holy hill, his city, and he looked after his people. That was the promise. And God encircles us. He encircles his people. And that's what the psalm is saying. We are surrounded. If we trust in him, we're surrounded with the power, the presence, and the security of God. When we build our lives on the rock of Jesus, on faith in God, we may well end up trembling on the rock. That's going to happen. But the rock is not trembling. The rock that we build our lives on is not going to tremble. It's an order, if you like, with a consequence. Those who trust in God, nothing can move the foundations that we build our lives upon. Nothing. That central section of Psalm 125 just encapsulates that. The fist of the wicked will never violate what is due the righteous. The fist of the wicked will never violate what is due the righteous. It comes back to what we said this morning, that God will never, our life is secure in him. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing, 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 nothing. Whatever the wicked throw at you, if we're worshipping, if we're walking in journeying with him, if we're walking in reverence and fear of God, we're trusting in him. Nothing, nothing, nothing can violate that. We need to build on that. Remember what we said earlier from Psalm 121, stuff's going to come our way. The fist of the wicked. Remember that psalm, of that picture of the wall of water? Someone asked me if that was genuine this morning. Yeah, absolutely it's genuine. It's not been photoshopped. It's taken from the bridge of HMS Edinburgh. So the wall's going to come. The wicked is going to thump you in the face. But he will never, ever take the security in God that we have for eternity from us. That cannot happen. Our reward is already sure. Trust in that. It cannot be shaken. We need to know that. If you only take this away from this weekend, take that away for yourself. That is rock solid. That's rock solid in you. Whatever's coming, whatever is coming, whatever you're going to face, whatever your friends are going to face, know it deep down in our souls. We need to take that. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord if we truly, truly trust in him. We need to learn to trust, to obey the orders. And we do that, you know, we do it if you think about the kit that you have. When we go to sea, or when you're out, I don't know, you know, the guys are out patrolling Afghan, we have to learn to trust in the kit. And actually we've seen in times, you know, like, I don't know, was it the Snatch Land Rover? Wasn't that the job? So the lads didn't trust, you know, eventually they realised that they couldn't trust the kit. And, you know, there's loads of other kit, I'm sure we can offer them. And other people, you know, you learn to trust. Actually, people will let you down. Kit will let you down. Stuff will let you down. Some we learn to trust, some we learn not to. But with God, that's not the case. God is never, ever going to let us down. It's us who move away from him. The consequences, the promises come when we're walking in his ways. If we're not walking in his ways, stand by. Proverbs chapter 3. And some of you might know this if you're in the NCF. Sorry. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 10. And they're going to stop here, actually, when I've read this section for today. Take this as our order, if you like, personal for us. If you take nothing else away as scripture, maybe take this. Proverbs 3, 5 through to 12, maybe not that far. Again, I'm going to read from the message. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. What we were just saying. Right deep down. Know it. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. We'll be touching on that tomorrow morning. Don't try to figure it out on your own. Don't try to work out how you're going to sort out £178,000 of the debt on your own. Don't do it, because you ain't going to work it through. Listen for God's voice in everything you do and everywhere you go. Listen for God. We talked this morning. Some people found that 15 minutes this morning. It was like the first time they'd actually stopped and listened to God for a long time. Listen to God's voice. Take time out. Take time to listen to him, to find him, to ask him, to come back to him, wherever you're at. But do that on a regular basis. Listen for God's voice in everything you do and everywhere you go, every moment of every day. Because he is the one who will keep you on track. He is the one to keep you on track. Not your church pastor. He might get it wrong. Not CVM, not AFCU. Might be help you, definitely not NCF. You know, I didn't even mention that. God, test it all against God's voice, against God's word, against Scripture. He is the one who will keep you on track. Some of us who are maybe a little bit older in the faith, don't assume that you know it all. Okay? Don't assume that you know it all, because we don't. None of us do. We're never going to know it all. We might know a bit, and some people will know more than you, and that's great. Talk to them. Help, you know. But none of us ever assume that we know it all. Run to God, run from evil. I love this. This is like a mission statement for us as we're living our daily lives. Run to God, run from evil. We know what he doesn't want us to do. Really? Don't we? Yeah. You get that feeling when you do 120, if you ever do 120 down a motorway, you know it's not right. Oh, it's a silly little example, but you just know it's not right. So why do it? Just laugh. You know, no. Run from evil. Then, again, these lovely, lovely consequences as we begin to do this stuff. Your body will glow with health. Your very bones will vibrate with life. Do you want life? Bones will vibrate with life. Honour God with everything you own. Give him the first and the best. It's a bit of a challenge for some of us. Honour God with everything you own. Give him the first and the best. Another lovely promise. Then your barns will burst and your wine vats will brim over. Enjoy it. Enjoy this life. But do what he wants. But don't, dear friend, resent God's discipline. Don't sulk under his loving correction. Do you sulk when God tells you you're not doing something properly? It's the child he loves that God corrects. A father's delight is behind all this. Father God delights in you right now. Right now he delights in every single one of us. And he wants us. He wants our wine vats to be brimming. He wants us to enjoy life. He wants us to worship him. He wants us to trust him. He wants us to fear him. Then it's good. We can have life to abundance. It's going to be overflowing to those around us. And it's that overflowing to those around us that we're going to talk about tomorrow morning. Going to leave it there. I'm just going to read that through again, that section, and let's take that away and read that in your own time and begin to apply it to your lives. And if you want to talk through some of that, there's some stuff there that's challenged you. But what we want to take from this is if we begin to walk God's way, doing it, life's going to be, we're going to know where God wants to be. We're going to begin to enjoy it. Even when it's rubbish, even when stuff's tough, we're going to know that God's with us. He's never, ever going to let us go. I'm going to read from the beginning of Proverbs 3. Good friend, don't forget all I taught you. Take to heart my commands. They'll help you live a long, long time. A long life lived full and well. Don't lose your grip on love and loyalty. Tie them around your neck. Carve their initials on your heart. Earn a reputation for living well in God's eyes and the eyes of people. What reputation do you have with your mates, with your oppos? Do you have a reputation for living well? Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who'll keep you on track. Don't assume you know it all. Run to God, run from evil. Your body will glow with health. Your bones will vibrate with life. Honour God with everything you own. Give him the first and the best. Your barns will burst. Your wine vats will brim over. But don't, dear friend, resent God's discipline. Don't sulk under his loving correction. It's the child he loves that God corrects. A father's delight is behind all this. So where were you this morning? Did you feel the loving correction, the loving arms of Jesus beginning to move you forward from that point? Move us on from that point into fullness of life, fullness of abundance, of moving forward with him. Because that's what he wants. That's what he wants for you. That's what he wants for our families. And then tomorrow, the outworking of that is a massive, massive, massive impact on those around us. An impact on society that's going to transform society. Remember where I started last night? The church advancing, pushing back against the advancement of hell. Of Hades. That's what we want to see. We want to see the church. We want to see God advancing. We want to see men, women and children coming to know him. We want to see society transformed. And as we begin to worship, we begin to see God for who he is, as we begin to trust, we will, God promises us, we will see transformation in those around us. We will see it. And tomorrow we'll look at how we can be part of that transformation in our society, but specifically within the military.